live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back tomorrow. Mary V, Mary S, Andrea, and Dave Bennett, who is back from his daughter's wedding.
Yes. Welcome back, David.
Thank you.
How was it?
It was good. We had a wonderful weekend.
You brought down the house with your toast?
I don't know about that, but
did you cry,
I got
Dave?
Through it. I didn't cry, Mary. Aww. I was really, I wasn't worried about crying, but I didn't. I was able to keep it together.
I'm a crier.
After what you just told me and Pete about your toast, I would have been bawling. The waterworks would have just not stopped.
Did you talk about her as a little girl and all the things?
Yeah.
Tell everybody what you did.
Well, wait. Is it private?
No. Well, okay.
Not anymore?
I
love it. I only have a son, so I can't relate.
So at night, when she was a little girl, I would read her the Little House on the Prairie books, Laura Ingalls Wilder. So there was, in the last one, the main character, Laura, who's the author, gets married. So I said, I'd like to read to you one more time.
My God.
He brought down the house.
If my father had done that, were he here, I would have just lost it.
I was a little shaky when I practiced it. So I was okay.
How many
when
times?
I got up
20?
Not 20.
You got to do it 20 times to get rid of the tears.
You know what, though? You were really working on your speech. You were kind of going back and forth and throwing ideas out there about how you were going to open. And I thought your open was strong.
Thank you.
It was nice. Yeah.
I thought your open was strong.
I did.
Listen to us critique.
Like I know.
At your daughter's wedding.
What was the open?
Beautiful. It's private.
Yeah.
Everything.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
It wasn't like a Vegas,
a
Vegas showroom or anything. It wasn't a joke fest.
It's just
fest.
Sweet. It's nice.
I just, it was a really nice, loving evening. And I think hopefully everybody had a good time. And
that's the way it should be, man.
So now both your kids are married. You're done.
Yep. Everybody's off the payroll.
Now you just got to pay the
bills. Going to Disneyland.
I wondered why you were so happy today.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's time for the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Time for the 6 at 6. At number one, the driver of the van that plowed into pedestrians near a mosque in North London has been identified as Darren Osborne, 47-year-old resident of Cardiff in Wales. One man died, 10 people injured in the assault. Police believe he acted alone.
This is a crazy story. I mean, this is a middle-aged man who had a family, father of four.
Who just completely lost it.
Just completely, but people have described him as troubled and complex, and I guess his wife was interviewed by the Telegraph saying he drank a lot.
Okay. At number two, Otto Warmbier. This is just a horrible story. The former University of Virginia student who returned home in a coma to the U.S. last week after spending more than 17 months in a Korean prison died yesterday.
Can you, when this alert came over yesterday, Pete, I couldn't believe it. We knew he came back and wasn't the same person he was when he was captured 16 months ago, but to die? It's unbelievable. And then, of course, the North Korean government said, well, it was, related to heart trouble. And his family came out yesterday saying,
They say it was botulism? And then his brain stopped. I mean,
the autopsy showed that there was no botulism in his system at all. And they're saying it could have been pneumonia, a blood clot, or kidney failure.
There is a developing mystery on this story, though. The doctors and their news conference earlier in the week, he wasn't on a breathing machine. He was breathing on his own when they saw him. They wouldn't talk about his prognosis, but he wasn't an immediate threat of death. And so the question is, what happened between then when they saw him and now? How did he go down?
Well, I think the
so
question,
quickly?
Though, was they said initially that he was, they used a term which they say now means vegetative state.
Yeah, right. Like he was
could open
brain
his
dead
eyes.
When
exactly.
the doctor held that press conference
yes,
last
exactly.
week.
But he was
right.
able to breathe on his own and take fluids.
But
and
still,
he could
point,
blink, but he was unresponsive.
But who knew that he came back in this state?
And what do we do? Is there anything going to be done?
There should absolutely be some sort of repercussion.
But what?
Absolutely. Well,
that's
I
the
guess
question.
That's up to the Trump administration now.
Is Sean Spicer out? The White House press secretary may soon have another job in President Trump's White House. Spicer could be moved into a more senior role focused on strategy. Really?
Yeah, he would
you
be.
You hate him, and then you feel sorry for him, and now he's going to be out, and you don't want him to leave.
Oh, I think it's weird because he would. I think he would consider this a promotion, like communications director, but it's kind of one of those push
you
off.
We got to get you out.
Push you off to the side role.
How old is Sean Spicer? Do you know?
I do know. I was stunned. I thought he was much older.
He's 45.
I know.
I thought he was 55.
He looks a lot older.
So Sean Spicer could be out. Carrie Fisher's autopsy report came out yesterday. It showed the actress had cocaine, opiates, ecstasy, and heroin in her system.
It's unbelievable.
And she died of sleep apnea, right? She had a heart attack?
That was the primary cause of death? All of these had to have led to that, though.
Cocaine, opiates, ecstasy, and heroin in her system.
And then someone from TMZ, I think, reported yesterday that the cocaine was from 3 days earlier. Well, that doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's still in your system.
Yeah, 72 hours.
Right.
I mean, please, she struggled with drugs forever.
Yes,
her entire
did.
Life. It's mm-hmm. too bad. And speaking of drugs, Tiger Woods says he's getting professional help for his issues with prescription medication in the wake of his DUI arrest, but he's not describing the situation as rehab. Quote, I'm currently receiving professional help to manage my medications and the ways that I deal with back pain and sleep disorder.
They're not calling it rehab, but his agent did say he is in receiving inpatient treatment.
So it's rehab for a normal person, basically.
I guess that would be one way to phrase it.
I mean, we all knew after we saw that video, something's going on. Because this kid, he grew up, he didn't drink.
Right.
He didn't drink.
Right.
And he started having pain, he started taking pills, and you just kind of assume that he had a problem, which is too bad. 41 years old, Tiger?
41 years old.
41 years old.
Good he's getting help.
And the 6 at 6, number 6, listen up, Sandberg. North America's use of paper towels to clean more than any other country on the planet. We use paper towels in North America more than anybody else.
I believe it.
It's crazy. What do you think the number one cleaning supply is?
Vacuum cleaner?
Not
on the planet.
Oh.
The number. Probably not paper towels.
A broom. A broom is
a broom.
Number one.
I was going to say
68% of the people mop at number two.
Do you guys own a broom?
Yes, definitely.
Yes,
I do not.
We have multiple brooms.
We use it for the driveway all the time.
I don't know, like an indoor broom? I don't own a broom.
Don't you sweep your kitchens?
Broom.
No, I use the Swiffer.
The Swifter is
I use
big.
The Swifter and I use like a, don't laugh. Well, I have a condo, you know, so it's a, like a dustpan almost, but it's a big long brush. I guess you can consider that a broom.
Yeah, we have a Swiffer. Like
I got an indoor broom and an outdoor broom.
Yeah, I have an outdoor broom for the garage.
I have two outdoor brooms. I like to have the backup just
I
in case.
I love brooms.
The backup.
I love to sweep.
We use our Bounty paper towels in our house for cleaning, and then Pat also uses them for what I call making a little snack nest. He whenever he's having like pistachios or something, even though we have a million bowls and containers, and his mom bought him specifically a pistachio bowl where you put the nuts in the middle and you put the shells underneath. He just makes a nest of 1,000 paper towels on his lap because he always thinks, oh, I'm only going to have one handful of nuts.
Right.
But so he doesn't want to commit to the whole bowl. But then he goes back like 4 times with this paper towel nest.
That's a guy thing. I do the nest too.
Do
I like the nest.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, I do too. not a nest though. I have to take one paper towel and put it down.
He's like a neat freak. So we got a whole like 50 of them, you know. And then I say, your grandkids, you know, that's not green. Like,
that's a great name for it, a nest.
Yeah.
It's
like you recycle towel. Your used paper towels, don't you? We do.
Recycle
you do?
How?
What?
You put them in the recycle bin. You can put papers.
You can recycle them, but they prefer that you not because there's probably food stains and food on there.
Know.
You're not
never,
supposed to have
no.
any like.
We haven't nailed
they use
it. Our recycling is a loose operation. It is our house.
I've
when
never
in doubt,
recycled
it goes regular trash.
I've never recycled paper towels.
No,
I've never
you
even
can.
Thought about that.
Mine are always covered in Windex.
Right.
You or can, why can't they use snacks. That?
You can recycle the toilet paper holder, too. The little cardboard and the paper towel holder.
Come the toilet paper.
That's what I should
the holder.
Yeah, the cardboard.
The cardboard part
sure.
of it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Do that.
My dog, Murrow, loves to eat paper towels. It's his sneaking.
God, don't tell Mary.
He loves to sneak into the corner and rip up a paper towel.
I hope they're white bounties.
White bounties.
So I'm just curious, because I think I use too many paper towels. So if you spill something or to wipe anything up, do you use a paper towel or a dish towel?
Paper towel.
I use paper towels.
Of course.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me
Unless
too.
It's wine or something on carpet. And
then you just lick it up?
I don't like
yep.
my dish towels to get all messy, yeah. but I know that that's...
Use Bounty. It's the quicker picker up.
It is. Yeah. That's right. Okay. That's what Mary tells me.
I'm surprised to hear you waste wine like that, Mary.
Yeah. Party foul.
I didn't mean to speak.
WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. 626, we wanted to give you an update on our little buddy Owen. I've been following this story on Facebook because I'm good friends with Betsy Shepard, who is a PR person here in Chicago that spearheaded this whole thing. Owen was a little boy who was burned when he was 2 years old. He was put in a scathing bathtub, hot water. He was adopted at 2 years old by his mother, Susan. He's now 9 and a half. He's had multiple surgeries, had a bit of a scare lately. We just wanted to get an update. And on the phone with us is Susan. Susan? Hold on. There we go. There is Susan. Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Owen, he had a surgery, and then he had a bit of a scare. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you certainly did scare us this time. We did the leg amputation, and we did 5 new grafts to use the skin that they were going to dispose of. His lung decided not to cooperate with us this time, and we collapsed his left lung, which caused some breathing issues. So he did. He gave us quite a scare this time. I really thought on Wednesday that we wasn't going to bring him home from this one. So, yes, he gave us quite a scare, but he pulled through, and like the warrior that he always is, he pulled through in flying colors right at the last minute.
Right. I mean, it's just unbelievable how this kid just keeps fighting and fighting. I mean, he is my hero. I read the updates. I hear him on the show here because I'm a fan of Cochran's show. And I also read Betsy Shepard's Facebook page because she keeps us updated. And I just, this kid is unbelievable.
Susan, his attitude is so great. But this would be his 50th, 5-0 surgery. Is that correct, that he just had?
That is correct.
How's his attitude, the poor little guy?
Are you kidding? His attitude is awesome.
See?
And I'll tell you, Shriners Hospital in Cincinnati, because he was really anxious before we went into surgery, the anesthesiologist came and said, just take your nurse gun, and anyone that does anything wrong in surgery, just shoot him.
Isn't that crazy?
So he went into surgery laughing because he was getting everyone with their bullets.
Susan, we always get asked, how can people help? There's a GoFundMe page, and people are donating because they want to help you, and they want to help Owen.
Yes, they are donating. I appreciate that.
GoFundMe.com/IfOwenCanWeCan. If Owen can, we can. If you go to, there's also a Facebook page, If Owen Can, We Can, all one word. And people can send him cards. He loves the hats, the Nerf guns. What else does he like?
Right now, it's the hats, the Nerf guns, and American Ninja Warrior.
Hats. So hats from anywhere.
Ninja Warrior.
Oh, I got to tell you, the kids are into it.
He loves Ninja Warrior.
I mean,
that's cool.
He does. We're
going to need to send him a little care package or something,
A little something,
some
something.
Stuff,
there's a ninja place on the north side.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
I know a guy. I got a guy.
All right, good.
I could do it. So what is he?
I'll tell you about the Ninja Warrior real quick. We were struggling because, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know, even we do the skin grafts, and just as soon as we get the dressing change, we have to start stretching and exercising those very sore and tender areas.
Yeah.
So we're raising and stretching his shoulders, and he's just really, really struggling with that one. All of a sudden, I just say, hey, you want to be on Ninja Warrior, right? He goes, yeah. And I say, got to stretch those shoulders.
Yeah.
So he's really been pushing through those stretches because we're Ninja Warrior training right now.
That is, you know what? We've had Matt Eisman on the show before. We need to call him, you know, something out.
Absolutely.
Have him call Owen or something.
God bless that kid. And he's going to be fitted for prosthetics pretty soon?
Oh, well, not pretty soon. We got the call yesterday from the orthopedic surgeon. We had thought that it would happen soon. And yesterday evening, we're not even going to fit or measure him until July 20th.
Okay.
Oh, it's coming up.
6 to 8 weeks. It's coming up. It's coming up. And you know that soon he'll be walking. I'm thinking maybe by the end of September, he'll be able to begin the process of walking.
I mean, it's just an incredible story.
It's a great, yeah.
Wow.
And his attitude
is... an incredible boy, you know, and he's always laughing. He wakes up with a smile on his face, you know, joking with the surgeons all the time. And, you know, when they're doing hard things for him, he's joking and laughing with them.
Well, God bless you and Owen. If people want to help, GoFundMe.com/IfOwenCanWeCan, or you can find that on Facebook, all one word, If Owen Can, We Can. Susan, great to talk to you. Say hello to Owen for us, okay?
You too. I will. I will. Thank you for calling.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
.642, Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help recognize a youth that goes above and beyond their community. You can nominate a youth for the Allstate Kid of the Week. A kid you know could be featured right here on this show and win some great prizes, including an Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's pizza. Just go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a youth between 9 and 18 years old that you think should be the Allstate Kid of the Week. Are you ready to talk to the Kid of the Week?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Every time we have a Kid of the Week on, I feel like I didn't do enough as a kid.
I know. We all feel that way too. Don't worry. Like we're just insignificant. And
do we have the kid or do we have the mom on? Oh, the kid is on right now. All I had was a paper route. I guess I did some charity work. I collected money for Jerry Lewis Telethon.
You probably helped the neighbors, though, right? Do the lawn, pick up trash. All right.
I want them to pay me.
And you're useless.
Yeah. Yeah. On the phone with us is the Kid of the Week. It's Evelyn Brunstein. Evelyn, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Evelyn, you're 13 years old?
Yes.
Where do you go to school?
St. Mary Immaculate Parish.
St. Mary Immaculate. So you're going to be, what, an eighth grader coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, this is big. You're big time. This is it. You got one more year. You're going to high school. You're in charge of the school being in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Man, I loved being in eighth grade. I was so excited.
Eighth grade was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. Are you doing any camps this summer?
Well, I did a basketball camp.
Basketball camp. Okay. I like it. You got a lot of work that you've been doing. You're on the honor roll, of course, right?
Yeah.
What academic activities did you participate in throughout the school year?
Well, I did a lot of groups, like Battle of the Books, and I was in my school play, and of course, basketball.
Nice. And you did some charity work, too. What is the Feed My Starving Children? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's an organization that helps feed children and teenagers in need in other countries that don't have enough food for themselves.
And how did you decide to do that?
Well, at first, my school took us on a field trip, and I really liked it. So I told my family, hey, this place is cool. We should go. So now every year we go multiple times, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Did I read, too, Evelyn, that you didn't want birthday presents, and you said instead of birthday gifts, you want to give the gifts to the kids at Lurie?
Yeah, I every year since, I think, 3 years ago, I donate gifts to the kids at Lurie instead of taking birthday gifts for myself.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you know, I'm sure that that makes their lives, makes their day, to have somebody come and give them a gift.
Yeah.
It's got to make you feel good.
Well, it's got to make you feel happy when you see a smile on their face, right, yeah. Evelyn?
Yeah.
Wow. And what do you have any other charity work that you're going to be doing this summer, or are you just going to take it easy until the fall?
Well, I know I might cut my hair and donate it for the kids with the wig program they make wigs for kids.
Yeah, the Locks for Love, right?
Oh, my
gosh. Where they make the wigs, yeah. That is so cool.
God bless you. I mean, when I talk to kids like this, I think, wow, you're a special person.
Thanks.
Evelyn, it's always like, you know what? Are you kind of the type of person you're always looking for what you can do next because you're doing so much?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you're very humble, too. And how many siblings do you have? Are you an only child, or you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister.
A younger sister? And does she follow in your footsteps?
Yeah, she started doing the Louis Children Gifts, and she also does the cutting hair, too.
Wow. That's just amazing. And I'm sure your parents are involved because you learn by example, and you see your parents doing this, and you want to help out, and it makes you happy, and it fulfills you.
Yeah.
Good for you, Evelyn. Well, you're the kid of the week. How does it feel to be the Allstate kid of the week?
Well, it was exciting. I really wasn't expecting to be chosen.
That's so cool. Of course not.
And do you have anybody listening right now you want to say hello to?
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
That's so cool. Did you already ask her what she wants to be when she grows up?
Oh, yeah. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a paleontologist.
Oh, cool. Dinosaurs and yeah. going digs, archaeology.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like you're more focused than I am.
We
got to get my act together.
We get the first interview, okay, Evelyn?
Yes.
When you're famous.
Okay.
Evelyn, congratulations just for being the kid of the week. You're a wonderful kid of the week. We're going to set you up with an Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's gift card, and much, much more, okay? Have a great summer.
Okay, thank you.
And say hello to your parents for us, okay?
Okay, I will.
Evelyn Brunstein, the kid of the week, the Allstate kid of the week.
How great is she? Not only does she raise money for the homeless and kids who needed it, Lurie, but now she's going to cut off her hair for Lock.
She's going to grow her hair and cut it off.
Oh, she's so nonchalant
awesome.
About it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm just going to cut off my hair.
But we have paper routes, Pete.
Yeah,
paper routes.
You guys have to feel good about yourself.
Yes.
Huh?
I mean, Dave, you instilled doing charity work with your kids, right? I think you...
Oh, yeah. My kids always have.
I don't want to say you reinvent yourself. You get a second chance when you have kids to be a better person, I would say. I mean, I've always done a little bit of charity work because my mother does so much. And now as an adult, I do so much charity work and volunteer my time. And I try to instill that in my son, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when we did it, it was...
For credit.
It was within,
volunteer hours at school.
No, yeah. But it was within, it was all structured. It was more structured. Yeah, you know, it was like...
Or you could walk around your neighborhood and collect money for an organization.
Collecting for UNICEF on Halloween.
Right.
Or like
muscular dystrophy.
The Jerry Lewis telethon.
Easter
stuff
seals,
like that.
Right. We did.
But these kids are coming up with these
They're
ideas.
They're coming up with their ideas.
Like, I don't want
ideas
birthday
of their own.
Gifts. Exactly, yeah.
Take gifts over to Lurie's children?
Right.
Wow.
So awesome.
That is so impressive.
She's great.
Good for her. WGN. It is 6:53. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back tomorrow. David Flom from Southern Cut will be in studio with us right after 7 o'clock, and we're going to be talking barbecue. Have you guys done any barbecuing this summer?
A little bit.
I have.
Yeah.
What's the biggest mistake people make barbecuing?
Overcooking, I would think. Right.
Overcooking?
Well, like you kind of burn the top part, but then the middle part isn't exactly the way you want
Turning their meat too much?
Yeah.
Are you talking grilling or smoking?
Grilling.
Grilling.
Do you have a smoker?
I have a smoker.
You got the egg? Do you have the
egg? Not an egg, but it's an electric smoker.
An electric smoker?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get one of those? Yes, Mary?
Pat made ribs on Sunday, and they're good, but the kids were there, and... He likes them with a little bit of char and caramelizing on it, I guess. And
right.
they were picking that part off, and it was making him crazy because that's the
best part. That's like the
part.
Best part, yeah.
You know, Catherine was dragging her knife across it like it was a black piece of toast or something, you know. And it's like, Catherine, it's supposed to be there. And she's like, I like it just soft, you know. So,
oh, yeah, that's the best
part. Dramatic. It was really good, though.
We had the old grill, charcoal grill, back in the day, just a very small one. And my father burned all the meat.
Did he really? Yeah, my
he
dad
burned it
you know
every
what
single
my
time.
My dad liked everything well done. Like it had to be charred on the outside.
Yep.
Totally was, cooked on
yes,
the inside.
Not
we always
moist
had medium
whatsoever.
Rare. Oh. Our friends would come over and they would eat the meat and they'd be like, our steak is bleeding on the plate.
It's mooing.
My dad burned everything too.
So here's the
that
question.
That was a thing.
I don't think
the meat was as good.
When you're barbecuing, say you're doing ribs or chicken, whatever, do you put the barbecue sauce on first or
no.
do you wait till the end?
Hey, you wait
don't
until
you
the
answer.
End.
Sorry. Wait till you talk
no.
to your expert.
Wait. I'm going to, I believe you, but I'm still going to ask Dave. Yeah. Other Dave.
What am I doing? What?
I asked you to give away those two.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Mary. I can't read lips.
Apparently not.
Just say it out loud. We're all family here. We are giving away tickets to see Blake Shelton, right? Okay. Oh, hold on. Hey, I haven't been in a while. How long's it been? A few weeks?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for this. This sheet right here. Okay. Mary gave me at the beginning of the show, and she said, hold on to it, and I lost it. Okay.
The one that's circled in red?
Yes. No. All right. We have a pair of tickets to see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson. Boy, that would be great.
Oh, that's going to be a great show.
Man, what a great double bill.
Soldier Field has had some awesome shows already this year. U2, Metallica.
Saturday, July 1st, during the opening ceremony concert for the 2017 DOD Warrior Games.
Yeah, and if you have
Blake and Kelly.
See the Warrior Games. If you can just go to any of the events or the competition, this is going to be something you've never seen before.
You can get Warrior Games tickets at Ticketmaster.com. But if you want to see Blake and Kelly, 312-981-7200. Caller number 9.
I'm calling.
You
want
to do that, Mike? Okay. Caller number 9. Let's do that and take a quick break. And we'll check top of the hour and we'll talk barbecue with David Flom from Southern Cut coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right.
God, I love it. That summertime right there. It's 709. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us, our old buddy. This is nice. The owner of Chicago Cut Steakhouse, the owner of Ocean Cut. And Southern Cut Barbecue. They have a new place called Southern Cut Cafe at 20 West Kinsey. In studio with us is David Flom.
Good morning, Pete.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You?
When did you decide to open this new place on Kinsey?
Well, we had a little space there, and we were thinking about what would fit in River North. And you think about River North is full of all these sit-down fancy restaurants, and we said, let's do something that's really fun food and something that could be maybe a little quicker and a little less inexpensive. And here we are at Southern Cut Barbecue.
I'd bring Darlis in, but she's feeding her face right now at the barbecue.
Barbecue's phenomenal, the pulled pork. And
you didn't eat the top bun on the pulled pork.
I will, but I want to eat the pork alone by itself, first of all. But I got a huge kudos to the cornbread with the maple pecan butter.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It's a love affair.
I'm going home early.
What is it with ribs? I mean, you have to be very delicate. It takes a long time with ribs, doesn't it?
Well, so ribs, to get them just right, where they're not chewy, they're not tough, they're not burnt, they're not this, it takes, you know, a little magic. And so low and slow has always been the theme of barbecue, but then the question is, how do you get it so that there's still, they're not dropping off the bone, there's still a little bit of pull left on them. You want the flavor to come out right. You don't want the ends to be burnt and the middle to be not cooked all the way. And so it really takes some, it's an art.
We were talking about the biggest mistake when people barbecue. What is it?
Oh, they overcook for
sure. Overcook.
That's it.
We all do.
Right?
Oh, that chicken's not done. I don't want to get sick.
Here, the simplest way to solve that problem, you can buy a digital thermometer for $10.
I have the one from Jewel.
Right.
The cheap one. I don't have the digital one. I have the one.
You bought the cheap one?
It wasn't free? What?
Stop it. Where do I get one of those meat thermometers? The digital one. Do they have them?
Yeah, I mean, I bought one the other day at Target, and it was $10. And
that's it. You don't have to get a fancy one.
No. And so I was making pulled pork at home, Boston butt, and you stick it in there, and I waited for it to get to 180 degrees, and we were good.
Can you give me the temperatures? Because I don't know when to pull it off.
Well, I mean, I would definitely...
I know
you want
Google
your food
it.
To be safe.
Right.
So I think 180 is a good number on chicken or pork. And then beef, you can maybe go a little lower to 165.
My father burnt everything when he barbecued.
Hockey pucks.
And then my mother started boiling the meat. So all you have to do is just throw it on the grill
just
for a second. Why did people boil meat back in the day? Boil the ribs, boil the chicken.
My mom used to do that with the ribs.
All the time.
Boil the ribs, yeah.
Yes.
Well, the original thought behind boiling was simply so the meat would fall off the bone. You know, the problem is when people barbecue, they always thought, oh, let's get this fire as hot as we can get it. And then they throw the stuff on there, and then they open the top up, and there's a flame the size of, you know, the Sears Tower coming at you, and you put the top back down, and then you overcook it.
Yep.
So I think, you know, now you see things like green eggs in people's backyards, and you see these guys walking out there at 6 in the morning getting their smoke just right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're putting the chips
on. Got to start up the egg.
Got to soak the chips and all this stuff. And that's fun and all that, but you just, you know, it's a science. It's just like making wine. You know, we all think it's real easy to make wine, and then when you go out on a trip to wine country, you're like, oh, my God.
I heard on Mr. Fix-It either last week or the week before, they have these tubes now that do the same thing as the chips. You can put them on gas grills. You just set it on top of your gas grill, and it cooks, and the flavor sinks into the meat.
Did you buy it?
I haven't bought it yet.
No, he's waiting for the promo, the freebie. Hey, I wanted to ask you, so with the ribs, so when you're making the ribs or anything barbecue, and I know Pete tried to answer this, but I wanted to ask the expert, do you put the barbecue sauce on first, or do you cook the meat, and then that's the last thing you do? And how many coats?
All right, so barbecue sauce main ingredient is some form of sugar, okay? Whether it's raw sugar, molasses, honey, etc. Whenever you put any form of sugar in front of high heat, it's going to burn.
Okay.
So what I would do is dry rub your meat before you put it on the grill. I would get the temperature of the grill maybe to about 275. Okay. So that's a small amount of charcoal.
275. Wow. Okay.
That's all I would get the temperature inside there. Then I'd put the ribs on there, and you're going to let them go for, you know, probably 5 hours.
Five hours?
That long?
Oh, yeah. Okay? You want to go low and slow.
Okay.
And then when they finish, you'll see your ribs now. They've got that kind of red hue crust to it, and that's all from the rub. There's no sauce on those ribs whatsoever.
Direct heat or indirect?
If you can do indirect, that's better. So you can now buy almost like a metal teepee to put over your charcoal so it deflects the heat out, and then it kind of circulates inside your grill.
Right.
If you get stuck inside because it's raining, then, you know, I would, you can have convection ovens so that there's no direct heat going right at it.
So do you put the sauce on right before you take them off then? So, or how long do you let the sauce on?
Yeah, I mean, you can put a little bit of sauce on right before you take them off. I actually like to do this. I like to have 3-4 different kinds of sauce and have them dipping in front of me, and then have the dry rub meat, which is going to have plenty of flavor in it. You're going to put an excessive amount of dry rub on it and then dip it into the different sauces.
So you don't do sauce on the grill. You wait until after.
Yeah. And I just dip the meat into it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the other nice thing about that is you're not sitting there licking your fingers in front of people you don't know.
That's right.
That's nice, isn't it?
Could I ask a smoking question?
Yeah.
Yes, Dave.
Marlboros or Pall Mall?
So I have an electric smoker.
They're not going to pass marijuana for a while.
No, that's what I hear. Electric smoker, and I set the temperature for, let's see, I was smoking chicken breasts.
Okay.
225 is the temperature I set it at. And it's what I've read is that when the internal temperature of the meat reaches, 165, then the chicken's done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I have an iGrill, the digital thermometer that has an app. So you look at your phone and it tells you what the temperature is. And it's like it's been on there for a half an hour and it's already at 180. And it's hardly been on there anywhere close to 2.5 hours. So do I just, is my smoker just too hot? And do I need to turn it down or is it okay to just leave it?
So I would get an independent thermometer and just test the temperature inside your smoker first. And then at the same point, test the temperature inside the chicken first just to check it. Because it's pretty hard to get to those numbers in 30 minutes unless, you know.
I might be exaggerating just a little bit, David.
But, you know, I mean, you'd have to have a 400-degree oven to make that happen. So something's going
could
on.
Could be a problem with my thermometer.
Just go to.
I got
Ocean
a guy.
Cut,
go
Chicago
to Jewel.
Cut.
Target, $10.
Just go to Southern Cut.
Thanks.
We'll never do it like the experts.
Southern Cut Barbecue, Southern Cut Cafe at 20 West Kinsey. It's open now.
It's open now. Today we're having our grand opening. If you stop by today at 11:30, we'll be giving away 100 of our sandwich called the Pitmaster, which is smoked chicken, pulled pork, and sliced brisket, finished with some coleslaw, fried jalapenos, and pickled red onions. She's got her yellow or golden barbecue sauce over the top of that. It's the best sandwich I've ever had.
I like the coleslaw on the sandwich.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And
hold
it's
that
not
thought.
Too
hold
mayonnaise-y.
That thought. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your meat coming up, too. David Flom in studio with us. Let's take a look at traffic at 717. Mayor.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I had a barbecue stain on my white T-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt.
721, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow in studio with us. Southern Cut Cafe opens today, the grand opening at 20 West Kinsey. David Flom is here. Can you share the story, one of the first times we went to lunch when we met, to our audience? We've known each other a very, very long time, and I asked you to lunch one day.
So, obviously I didn't know at that point if it was a man crush or if it was just lunch.
Right.
You're still trying to figure that out.
So we went to Billy Goat Tavern, you know, the guy's place to go for lunch.
David, very busy at Chicago Cut. I pull up, I say, hey man, let's go to Billy Goat and get a quick cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So we walk in there. Pete's trainer's in the room.
Yeah.
He had a double-double-double.
Yeah, and you have to. You got to get the cheeseburger when you go to the Billy Goat.
So yeah, you get the chips.
Chips.
Yep. Soda.
Mm-hmm. Pepsi.
And so the girl at the cashier is like, that's $20. So I figured that we were splitting the bill. And
I told him, no, I got it.
Pete being Pete, he had all of probably $3 on him.
I never carry cash.
No, I don't either.
Billy Goat doesn't take credit cards. That's
and funny. Then, you know, I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the nearest ATM? Because I'd like you to wait about 20 minutes for me to go to Michigan Avenue to get my money.
I don't carry cash.
Oh, man.
You have to remember he gets an allowance of $10 a week.
I have since started carrying at least $20 in my pocket.
Yeah, you have to.
I never carry cash.
So what'd you end up doing? Going to get cash?
He bought. Yeah. David bought. Thanks for that, bud.
Never invited me to lunch again.
Yeah. I don't know if I thank you.
Did he reciprocate?
What? How do you spell that?
Let's talk meat. We're talking barbecue. Where should we buy our meat? Where can we get good meat in this city?
All right. So if you think about the concept where you're going to buy good meat, think about a place that's doing a lot of volume and has a lot of turnover. That takes us to Costco and Sam's, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, pork... Yes, you can buy especially great small farm local pork stuff from a small local butcher. But for, you know, me, the average Joe, I'm going to Costco or Sam's Club to find it. It's real important when you look at pork that it's pink, almost red hue to a certain degree. If it's gray for whatever reason, walk out of the store and run. You know, and I would think about things like brisket, same thing. You want that bright red meat.
Okay.
And if you're not seeing that, you know, and ask the butcher, when did this come in? How, you know, what is it? How long it's been here? When you're in beef, there's different grades. There's USDA Prime, USDA Choice, USDA Select. I would definitely buy USDA Choice, which is grade B or higher, if you're trying to do something, you know, at home that's fun and whatever. The great thing about barbecue is it's really not that expensive. And so you can feed a lot of people, make a big batch on your grill or your smoker. And feed a big crowd. And you can do it, you know, you can put it on and walk away, which is great.
So right.
You can prepare the rest of the meal while you're doing that kind of stuff or getting ready for your party or whatever.
The barbecue craze over the last few years, I feel like it's like craft beer. It's going to stay forever. It's going to be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's here because if you think about between the rubs and the sauces, there's a lot of creativity going on. Now you're seeing chefs take the barbecued meats and creating creative dishes with it. So you'll see a dish like the Pitmaster where you've got, you know, different other ingredients all blending together. And when you get that maritage in your mouth, it's just harmony. It's love.
It's so cool. That's what it is. It is. I never thought I would like.
It's harmony.
I wouldn't be a person
love.
Who would say, oh, you know what, I'm going to take a huge side of coleslaw. But there's the perfect amount on here. It's almost like a vinaigrette, so it's not super creamy or anything like that, but it meshes with the flavors perfectly.
Yeah. And, you know, vinegar is great with barbecue because the acid in it will cut through kind of the heaviness of the meat.
Well, you nailed it. It's all about creativity. And that's why young kids are so into cooking and cooking shows, because they're creating something and giving it to the entire family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie loves to cook and he loves to invent rubs. I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. Or salad dressings. That's his thing right now.
That's cool, though.
Just let it go.
Can you put him to work?
Yeah, bring him down.
Have him wash some dishes over there. So what did you bring us today?
So we brought kind of our two favorite dishes. One of them, obviously, is so we smoke our ribs with hickory and applewood. We do it for about 5.5 to 6 hours. Just got a dry rub on it. There's four different sauces to try here, from mild to spicy to a yellow barbecue to a vinegar. That has mustard seed in it. The other dish we brought is our signature sandwich. Chef Leanne made this for me, and I fell in love. It's a Pitmaster, so it's done on a potato roll, finished off with pulled pork, smoked chicken, brisket together, coleslaw, pickled onions, and fried jalapenos over the top. It's got the golden barbecue sauce on it, and so it's great. And so if you're downtown and you're going to a museum or going to the beach and want to have a quick lunch, it's a reasonably priced. You can pop into Southern Cut Cafe. You don't have to, you know, Your other options are to go somewhere that's a quick serve national chain, or to go to something where you're going to sit down and it's going to take an hour. So we want it to be kind of that niche in the middle where you could walk in, there's a barbecue counter, you can see everything being made by our people right there.
Between Dearborn and State on Kinsey.
You got it.
And the barbecue sauce, the vinegar, where does that come from? North Carolina?
That comes from North Carolina.
It's so good. That's my favorite, the vinegar.
Mine's the South Carolina mustard. It's funny because I love mustard, and I know you're not supposed to put, well, you weren't in the past supposed to put mustard on ribs or steak or meat or anything like that, but the blend,
yeah,
perfect.
It's crazy good.
It's perfect.
Who comes up with this? Do you guys just sit around and just, okay, let's come up with a barbecue sauce?
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about, okay, barbecue sauce, what is it? There's so many variations. I mean, there's white barbecue sauce now and stuff like that you see out there. And so it's just creativity and finding the different ingredients that blend well together and work well together. If you think about wine, for example, for years and years in America, we would only make one grape in each bottle of wine. Now, today, we're blending all kinds of different grapes from different regions all over the world to create wines that even have more harmony. If I eat a piece of food that's very monotone, I get bored of it after about five bites.
Right.
If I eat something that has something that's got something different going on in each bite, I want to eat the whole dish.
What kind of wine do you drink with barbecue?
After White Zin, I would probably, if the food's going to be spicy and all that, you want something that's going to complement it. And so sometimes I'll drink a Riesling. Sometimes I'll drink even a spicy with spicy. So I'll pick a Zinfandel, American Zinfandel. There's a great wine called Prisoner that's a Meritage that's Zinfandel based that goes great with it. And then sometimes I'll pick things like a Grenache from southern France that's got some real heat to it and some zip to it that complements the barbecue.
That sounds good. Or maybe like a Pinot Noir, too.
Yeah. I mean, wine is one of those things where you're different than me and the whole thing.
You can do
like
whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on that you can do with it.
Thank you for coming in.
Pete, always a pleasure.
What's the Southern Cut barbecue website?
So, SoCutBBQ.com. You can check it out there. We're at 20 West Kinsey. Our original location's at 198 East Delaware. Come in and Chef Leanne's there at the Pitmaster every night, and she'll give you some tips and show you how to do a little bit of this at home.
How's your partner, Matty Moore, doing?
He's awesome.
When Matt gets excited, of course, he's got the Irish, what do you call it, the Irish brogue.
Yeah.
Brogue. You can't understand him when he gets excited.
Yeah, but you...
Oh, Peter!
What?
He just had to say hi to Mom and tell her he loved her.
That's it. David Flom, thanks for coming in.
All right, brother.
It's 729. The big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
720 WGN.
Physical, physical. I wanna get physical.
740. Good morning. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back tomorrow. Put that barbecue down. If you're looking for that jump start to get in shape or have no idea what you're doing, relax. We got a guy. He's my guy. He's the director of training at Shred 415 and a personal trainer. It's Mark Beyer. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm sorry about all the barbecue everywhere.
Everybody thinks,
barbecue?
Yeah, I was just going to say, everybody thinks that fitness professionals stay away from all the good stuff, right? But I like to enjoy it every once in a while.
What'd you eat for breakfast today?
This morning was, have you heard of Ezekiel bread?
Yes, of course.
It's great.
Yeah.
So I had a piece of Ezekiel toast with half of an avocado and an egg on it.
Avocado
an egg.
Toast.
I put an egg on
it. I had a barbecue pork sandwich from Southern Cut.
I had some ribs, too.
First of all, explain to everybody what Shred 415 is.
Oh, it's a group training studio. It was founded here in Chicago by two females, Bonnie McKelly and Tracy Romer. Two friends that saw a lack of... what they thought was a great group fitness studio, you know, to help create a community and to support the types of workouts that they wanted. So it's half the classes on the treadmill. So you're running for 30 minutes on the treadmill and then 30 minutes on the floor. But we split it up, Shred 415.
So 15 minutes.
For 15-minute intervals, right?
Yeah.
So 15 minutes on the treadmill, 15 minutes on the floor. You're doing strength training on the floor. With, you know, Reebok step decks and dumbbells and all kinds of apparatus. And then you're doing short intervals on the treadmill. So you won't be running for a full 15 minutes, even though we say 15 minutes on the treadmill. It's going to be 2 to 3, maybe 4 minute intervals on the treadmill.
Sandberg? I like sometimes because I go to Shred 415 out by me. And I like when they're like, we're going to do a 10 minute, 10 minute, 10 minute, because then it feels like I don't have to be too committed to anything. Like they break it up differently.
I hate it.
So it started with 15 minutes, but as instructors, we let them do kind of what they want to do. So.
Yeah, I like it that way. Mind game with myself. I count down, which I probably shouldn't do.
Who's the toughest instructor? You, Bonnie, or Tracy?
Oh, gosh, they're listening right now, so I have to say the ladies.
I've taken Bonnie and Tracy's class. I think they're both, they're terrible. I mean, I hate them during the class. I love them afterwards.
They're great.
It's the greatest workout ever, and I've said this, because you're doing everything. You're moving your body, you're doing weights, and you're working your abs, man. You're working your core, which everybody needs to do.
Plus, I don't know about you, but I never would work that hard on my own. I like to run at a six-minute mile for 30 minutes on the treadmill and watch TV.
Yeah.
I don't do sprints and go up hills, and then they put it on you and they say things like, did you come here to challenge yourself
or
be the better version? And I'm like,
it's the motivational.
It is.
The motivation is for sure the secret sauce.
And the giant countdown clock when the room start, you know, they start it, and I can see the whole time. I know exactly where I'm at and how much torture I've got.
Some people don't like to look at that clock.
Oh, I look at it
the
whole time.
Because they know they have 35 more minutes left.
Yeah. Look at this guy over here. Dave Ennett does how many classes a week? Three? Four?
Well, I don't do classes every day, but we have a gym here in the Tribune Tower. I go there. I probably go there every day, or at least 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And then they have great, they have terrific classes. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing where you just, what Mary said, you're going to push yourself harder there, or you guys, Mark, are going to push the class harder than we're going to push ourselves.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about the group mentality, right? We all want to belong to something. So when you go into a situation like that and you're sweating with a bunch of people and pushing hard, and the person next to you's pushing hard, you can tell that they're giving all their effort. It really helps motivate yourself as well, not only just the instructor as well.
And I don't know about your city location, but because I'm in the suburbs, there's a lot of high school girls that come to mind. And so I look around, I'm like, I want to be like these 18-year-old girls that look so fit and
don't
good.
Don't do it.
So I try, like, to, you know, I'm like, this is my model, these young girls
don't
that
be
are
that
looking
woman.
So good.
But there's also something good. I mean, I belong to a class with young women, old women, all different ages, and we're called the Barbellas.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. The Barbellas.
Strong U gym in Villa Park, by the way. Anyway, and it's a great place, but it's really good for mobility and for older women with balance and all that kind of stuff to get the core going, and just with everyday stuff we do, it's really helped me a lot.
What is it? 90% of the fight is just getting there? Is it 90% just showing up?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you want to talk about health in general, I mean, a lot of it is obviously nutrition. But if you want to talk about fitness per se, getting those, putting the shoes by the bed at night. If you're going to, you know, get up in the morning and make sure you get your workout in the morning. I know your situation is a little bit different, because being on air in the morning is there's probably not a lot of gyms that are open before you even get here, nor do you want to work out at 3 a.m. However, most people that have a normal 9-to-5 job, I always recommend that they do it in the morning as opposed to the afternoon or evening.
Because they're going to put it off.
You
got to get
off,
it done.
There's always something during the day that will, think about this, how many minutes in the day do you have between you waking up and getting to the gym, if you're doing it in the morning, to say no, versus how many hours do you have to say no by the end of the day? So
you're talking yourself out of it.
Exactly.
And then you have that guilt.
And then you're
mad at yourself.
And
then you go home and eat.
That's what you do. You eat. That's the weirdest thing. You didn't work out, so you punish yourself by eating more.
It's all about your body wants to feel good. Right. And we talked about this off air. When you work out, you release endorphins. And so you're releasing great, you know, these positive hormones in your body. And we do actually get that sensation when we eat something that we like. So it stimulates the brain to make you feel good. But then what happens, you know, an hour afterwards is that you feel guilty. It's that guilt. And so you're kind of playing that roller coaster when you go for the food to make yourself feel good versus the fitness.
Everything in life is about habits. Mm-hmm. If you get in the habit of just going to the health club. And I remember Dawn Jackson Blattner, who's the Cubs nutritionist, who you know. Dawn told me the first few times, if you've never worked out, just show up at the health club and leave. Just get in the habit of going.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep a bag in my trunk. I bring it every day, even if I'm not going to work out, just so it's in my trunk. You got to be a creature of habit.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a while to create those habits. So like she said, if it means the hardest part is just getting to the gym, just drive there a few times and get that habit of just
driving. But you recommend going to the gym and then leaving.
I would try to do a little something.
I'm confused.
You want to get in shape.
Go to the gym and leave.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do.
You're already there. You must have do something. Right.
I'm gonna take a look at traffic, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how can people jumpstart. If people are listening right now that need to jumpstart their workout, how do they do it? What's the first step? And secondly, what do they eat? What do we eat in the morning?
Got it.
You've seen my protein over here. We'll talk about protein for guys in a second. Mark Beyer here. Shred415.com is the website. Are you still on the website with no shirt? Can we change that?
Depending on the day, yeah.
312-981-7200 is our phone number if you have a question for Mark, or our text line. We get your text messages right here.
Once again, I am Hans.
And I am Franz, and we just want to pop you off.
It is 7:53. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us from Shred 415. You can go to their website, shred415.com. It's Mark Beyer. He is the director of training. How did you get that gig?
Actually, so myself and another gentleman named Jeremy Walton, we share responsibility. So he and I were one of the first 10 instructors hired by Shred 415. We had a personal training. We both had personal training backgrounds and extensive group fitness backgrounds prior to Shred. And so,
so you're a personal trainer too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we saw both Bonnie and Tracy sat down with Jeremy and I, and we wanted to make it a little more standardized because we knew we wanted to grow. We were working on our second studio at that time, and we wanted to grow, and we knew that we had to give our instructors a little more direction as far as the programming goes. And so we both became co-directors of training and
nice.
We work on the programming. Yeah.
So for people listening right now, you're the director of training at Shred 415. Mm-hmm. You're a personal trainer. How can they jumpstart their workout? People want to get in shape during the summertime.
Honestly, one of the best ways is a class like Shred 415. Obviously I'm biased, but something that involves both cardio and weight training at the same time.
And get involved with other people.
Exactly. People, you're going to feel obligated a lot of times when you don't want to go, when you're not motivated to go, and you know that that friend that's been there for the past couple months is going. You feel... You know, it sounds like a negative term, but you feel obligated, and that's going to continue to push you, right? It's really easy if you're on your own just to say, I'm going to hit that snooze button one more time and not do that workout. But if you know a friend is there waiting for you, it's pretty hard to hit that snooze button. So, and then again, just the cardio, you know, just to continue to burn calories after you work out, get that heart rate up, right? And then the weight training as well will help burn calories because you're breaking down muscle, you're building muscle. It takes calories to do that. It's not a huge significant amount of that, what they call that afterburn. But you do get some of that through the cardio and the weight training at the same time.
Should you lose the weight first and then build the muscle, or can you do it simultaneously?
You can, well... Depending on the way you work out, that's kind of a trick question, to be completely honest with you. It's a lot has to do with your workout and what your goals are, but you don't think about them independently.
Okay.
Think about them. You're going to work out. Your body's going to do, honestly, what it wants to do. Everybody's different. So some people might lose the fat quicker. Some people might put on muscle and then lose the fat after. It does have a little bit to do with the type of workouts that you're doing. However, everybody's body is going to be different. It's kind of like saying, can I do sit-ups and lose belly fat? It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, and I hate to...
People used to think that.
Yeah,
seriously. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I like to bike. I mean, I like to bike and walk. I'm not a fan... You know, and I should. I should go to the gym and, you know, do cardio or spin. You know, I should do that for 30, 40 minutes. But I'd rather bike and do that kind of a workout, which I do for 30 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
But should you do that every day? Can you take a day to rest? Or
you definitely should take a day to rest. You have to listen to your body. It depends on also, like, how hard you're going during those sessions. So if you're... I always recommend wearing some sort of monitor just to kind of get an idea. I don't believe necessarily in, like, you have to go to the fat burning zone all the time.
Yeah.
There should be times that you push yourself, you know, push yourself hard, make your heart work, right? Okay. As long as you've checked with your doctor.
Right. And hydrate.
Yeah. But you shouldn't just be keeping your heart rate at a moderate rate.
Is it an activity or an exercise? Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So on days
that,
that's a great point,
like
Pete.
Like golf, which is fun, but that's not really. That's not really exercise.
That is an activity.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, if you like bike riding, and that's kind of like a release for you, and it makes you feel good, then you could do that every day. As long as, like Pete said, you're not just hard charging every day. Maybe that one day is more of an activity than it is your exercise.
That's perfect.
But you can still ride a bike.
I know. And along the lakefront, I try and justify it by saying it's super windy along the lakefront. Yeah. So, you know, if I'm going in the wind and I'm cranking, I'm going 6 miles.
I don't know if it works that way.
But yeah, you can definitely work out every day. I would definitely vary the intensity.
Okay, got it.
But if your body needs a break, take a break.
If you play golf and you walk 18 holes.
Hey,
and
that's
if,
good.
You're and if you the carry body. Your own clubs on top of that,
yeah,
that's a pretty good workout.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's,
so we have to ditch the cart next time, Dave.
Yes. Any type of activity, I always say, I mean, you need to walk or sweat at least 30 minutes a day.
Got it.
I mean, when I say walk, I mean,
I love the heart monitor. I used to wear one. Now I know my heart rate, but what's the use of working out if you're not burning fat?
Right.
Right.
That should be on the wall and shred. Okay, real quick, we only have a few minutes left. I want to ask you about Diet Coke in a second, but how much protein does a guy need daily?
So there's
over 40.
Yeah, definitely over 40 grams. So a man that weighs 180 pounds should have between 0.75 and 1 gram per body weight, per pound of body weight. So
I'm 178, so I need 40 grams of protein.
You need like 150 to 170.
Look at your face.
Wait, how many grams of protein do I need?
Here's the, well, okay.
I thought I was drinking my little protein shake for 30 grams.
Ice cream doesn't count, by the way.
It depends on what your goal is, okay? So if you could get away with 120 grams and be fine.
Okay.
Okay. If you wanted to build more lean muscle than what you have now, and I'm not saying bulk up and look like a
I don't want to bulk up.
Muscle head, right? No. But if you want to keep lean muscle and maybe put a little more lean muscle on your body, you need more than the 120 grams. Okay, you need about 140 to 170.
What about a guy that's over 50? How much does he need? I point to Dave Bennett.
It doesn't really. It doesn't. I mean,
he's like
it 52, does.
52. That's why.
It doesn't really go down as you age.
Okay.
You can. He can still maintain. He still wants to maintain muscle and right lean muscle. So you have to support your bones and your muscle with that protein.
Diet Coke, good or bad?
I mean, how do you?
It's
hello. It's a loaded question.
I love, Diet Coke. I love it.
And most people do.
How about Captain and Diet? Does that make it better?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have three Diet Cokes a week, that's okay. Moderation?
Moderation.
Three a week?
Moderation.
How about one a day?
Okay, how about one a day?
I would try to back off from one a day.
Why?
But what happens when you get super tired at 3 in the afternoon when you're
caffeine.
Doing a morning shift?
Is coffee better than Diet Coke?
Black coffee better than Diet Coke.
Okay.
It stimulates your body's desire for sugar.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, kiss me,
8:12, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN TV. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on?
This is nice.
This is lovely.
Were you at, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, Kerry Wood had that wiffle ball event at Wrigley Field. Were you there? Dean?
Don't remember.
Andrea, you were there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Okay, I remember seeing you.
Anybody hearing
me? I was there.
Yeah.
Can we hear you? We can hear you, Dean.
We can hear you. Oh. Yeah.
I thought he was just ignoring me.
No.
He is, but that's
no, the
whole
reason
separate.
I bring it up is because I know Jenny McCarthy. What is she doing? She's had an event.
She and her husband, Donnie Wahlberg, new kids on the block.
Jenny was in the wiffle ball event, and I'm telling you, in real life, she is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Very pretty.
I mean, gorgeous.
She kept up. Pat, my husband, was one of the people that covered it for TV, so he was one of the people. So she kept draping herself on him.
You know what's
funny?
He
was just my boyfriend then.
Okay, you know what's funny? When I tried to interview
her. So it was okay? Wait a second.
There is something fishy there, because when I tried to interview her for the same event, her rep stepped in and said she has the flu.
Oh,
and
she
said,
was like,
wait, what?
I want to say she had like a cold sore or something. I remember she was like,
a
hey,
cold
I'm
sore.
Something about a cold sore. I mean, I love her. I think she's really funny, but she's. I was like,
oh, very into the
could
guys.
Could they
yeah.
touch anymore? Like,
right.
he was like,
Right.
I gave her a hug, touching. And I held her just a little bit too long.
Right.
And it made it uncomfortable.
Apparently, Bill Leff got an interview with her as well.
Maybe she only does male interviews.
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Steve Cochran and I were broadcasting that event, except it never actually got on the air because they lost the tape. But that's another story.
Thank you, Dean.
All right. Have a nice day.
Bye, Dean.
Pat and I were early dating also, so I had to like still act like I wasn't really all that crazy, so I couldn't comment about how she was hanging on him.
Dean,
I reserve that for later.
Dean, do you like Jenny?
Sure.
Sure.
Well, I mean, some people love her, some people hate her.
I wouldn't say I love her.
I would, okay. I would be on
I would
Dean
say
page
I like her.
That.
I think she's...
She's okay. Don't lie and say you have the flu. Not
pleasant enough person.
Okay.
I mean, for somebody with a cold sore.
Yeah, gross.
I have a cold sore?
Good to know.
Why would you tell people that?
I don't know.
Even if you had one.
She did. She was telling people she had the flu, and then the next thing you know, she's doing an interview with Bill Leff.
That's a common little, you know, for those of you young entertainment reporters listening this morning, that would be a common fake excuse that they give you when they don't want to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so-and-so's not feeling well, and then you see them... You know, at some nightclub somewhere, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, eating waffles. Or
right.
I would rather have had her, Dean, and I'm sure you've had this experience. Matthew Perry was there as well. And we said, can we do a quick interview with you? And he said, no.
Yeah, he's, at least I'll give him credit. He just does not like to be interviewed.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would rather have
just,
that.
Can I defend him?
He just takes the bypass and says, no.
No, thank you. Yeah. Or no.
Yeah.
I'd rather have
did he
that.
Have a, how were his lips?
He was smoking.
He was smoking like crazy, Matthew Perry. But I saw him behind the scenes, and it was just he and I. And I went up to him, and I said, hey, I have a lot of respect for you because I read that article in People Magazine where you have a life coach. His life coach was there.
Oh.
Because he's struggled. He's one of those guys like Carrie Fisher, who we'll get to in a second, that has struggled with alcohol and drugs mm-hmm. his entire life.
Yeah.
And when someone throws you $1 million an episode, what are you going to do? You're going to go out and party with your friends.
Right.
Yeah. So he was very nice to me, and he thanked me. And
he's also been very nice. I have interviewed him a few times, but he's not one...
He's not warm. He's
not warm and fuzzy.
Well, he's just not... He actually, hey, for you young entertainment journalists listening, I do find this very often. Actors, especially comedians, but actors, comedians are often exactly opposite as you see on screen. They're rather introverted. They're kind of shy, painfully shy sometimes. Johnny Carson always talked about this. The guy who seemed most comfortable, most sociable publicly, but was incredibly awkward and in social settings, did not like to be interviewed, just was completely uncomfortable. Many of them are just uncomfortable in their own skin, and that's why they need characters to play. They're more comfortable being somebody else than being themselves. I noticed that. I can't even tell you the number of times that I see that where before an interview starts, somebody is shuffling and awkward and looking to the side and nervous, like painfully nervous. And then the second the camera comes on, they turn it on, and they're putting on their happy on camera persona.
That's like Kristen Stewart too, right, Dean? She seems a little uncomfortable in interviews.
A little bit
too.
Like that, yeah. She also seems uncomfortable on camera,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean, yesterday,
who's the biggest example of that? Robin Williams, which is kind of poignant because now we know what kind of inner demons he really had in his life.
Yeah.
But I sat down with Robin Williams many, many, many times, and before the cameras went on. Fidgety, nervous, looking to the side, and uncomfortable. And then when the cameras came on, it was showtime.
Well, yesterday on the show, you played a clip from Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell. Steve Carell is like that.
He's a little bit...
he's very serious, at least my interaction with him over
the
years.
A little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little not... or just uncomfortable. I don't want to say awkward or anything negative. He just seems like a little shy.
Yeah.
Comedian.
How about Cochran off the air? What's he like?
I've never actually spoken with Steve ever off the air.
He doesn't like when you make eye contact with him off the
air. I've known Steve for like 20 years. I've only spoken with him on the air.
Have we even done a story yet? I don't think we've even done a story.
Well, that's our time for today.
Yeah, right. You're laying the groundwork for Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen,
so
who
much to say about
may
Carrie
or may
Fisher.
Not still be listening from the beginning of this segment, there was a reason Steve brought up Jenny, or that Pete brought up Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, there
yes.
was?
Yes.
I don't remember what it was, but I know she at had the beginning, event. I remembered
she
it's
had
like,
an event
oh,
last night.
Oh, he's leading into my Jenny McCarthy thing.
Yes.
Now I don't even remember what it was. I think it was that she was a Playboy centerfold.
Yeah.
I think that was the big news.
Saw those pictures for research purposes, just for the record. No, she had an event last night, right? Here in Chicago?
She and her husband, Donnie Wahlberg. Who probably also has a cold sore now that we know the backstory. I don't know. I didn't see his lips up close, but they did, all seriousness, an amazing event at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles last night for an organization that works with children and families who are affected by autism. Organization is called Generation Rescue, a fantastic organization. Last year, when they put on this benefit, they raised $700,000 for this organization. So they raised a ton of money, and it was Donnie Wahlberg performing. His new kids on the block, pal Joey McIntyre, got up on the stage and performed as well. Naughty by Nature was at the event last night. OPP, you know me?
Yeah.
They, OPP.
Yeah, they were there.
I do know that.
Because if you're white, if you say Naughty by Nature, you got to say, you know, OPP, you know me?
Right.
Just, you know, you got to put the reference in there as well. But Jenny McCarthy, of course, also was there. And she has an autistic son. The son was diagnosed in 2005. There's been a lot of controversy around some of the statements that she's made regarding autism, but last night it was purely about helping others. And on the red carpet, when we talked with Jenny last night, she talked about being a Chicago girl, going and doing lots of things in movies and TV and centerfolds, but now being able to come back and give back to people really means something to her.
It's the best part. It's the best part. I thought I couldn't wait to get out of Chicago when I grew up here. I was 20 years old when I rented a U-Haul and drove to L.A. and thought I'm never going back. And at 40, I could not wait to come back and give back to my community, raise my son in a community where people have friends forever. They're grounded. Whenever I've traveled the country, I know when someone's from Chicago in a party because that is the coolest person in the room.
That's 100% true. I know the exact feeling.
She lives in St. Charles, right?
She lives not very far from the Arcata Theater last night. Slept over at her house last night.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love St. Charles, the Riverwalk.
No, thank goodness I know there. I didn't kiss her or Donnie on the lips last night. So I think I'm okay in the cold sore department.
And, I'm going to check traffic, and we're going to talk about Carrie Fisher. It's just a sad, sad story, man. It really is. And by the way, one more thing about Donnie Wahlberg, the 30 for 30 that's on right now, Celtics and Lakers on ESPN. He's the narrator, along with Ice Cube? Ice Cube, right? Not Ice-T, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube is the founder of that the former professional basketball players, like three on three? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's the 30 for 30 on ESPN. It's the documentary. They talk about they have a new one every single week. But I know what you're talking about. He was,
a three-on-three basketball league. That's Ice Cube. Ice Cube started that.
Got it. All right, Dean, hold on.
I'm up on all my ice beverages.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor, Channel 972. Top man.
More with Dean Richards from Channel 9. Dean, when this story came out yesterday about Carrie Fisher, I thought to myself, wow. Here's a woman that struggled for 40, 50 years with drugs.
Most of her life. Yeah, most of her life.
To the bitter end.
Most of her life with drugs and mental illness.
Yeah.
And it seemed like she had finally beaten the demon. You know, if you listen to interviews that she's did, you know, toward the end of her life, that documentary that came out with her and Debbie Reynolds, you know, where they lived next door to each other and supporting each other, and it seemed like Carrie Fisher, you know, was, thank goodness, finally on a path that was a lot more healthy for her. But when she died on December 27th, official cause of death was sleep apnea, heart disease, and drug use. Turns out that maybe the drug use should have been the first thing on that list, because what they found in her her system, according to the toxicology reports in her autopsy, heroin, cocaine, and ecstasy while she was on that flight from England, I think it was.
That was in her body.
That was in her body at the time of her death. I guess they were able to ascertain that she had taken cocaine 3 days before she died. They're not able to tell when the other drugs were last used, but probably, you know, if it's still in the system, I don't know how long.
It's
got to
be within a week,
stays
right?
Stays in the system. I was absent at medical school that day, so I don't know that. But
Dean, you interviewed her many times. She was always great with you and a good interview, right? Was it surprising to you that it was this many drugs, this powerful, and she was still using?
Yeah, only because she. It seemed like she had cleaned up her life.
Yeah.
You know, she was a little bit eclectic every time we talked with her, no question about it, but
that was her personality.
Yeah. She just, you know, again, not in a bad way. She just was,
right.
She marched to the beat of her own drummer. And I sort of respect that. But, when the last time that I interviewed her was when she was in town for that one woman show that she was doing, that based on her autobiography, based on her life. And it seemed like she had finally, you know, controlled the monster, and clearly she did not. That was her demise, apparently.
Just terrible.
Yep.
And the Hanson brothers are popping off to Justin Bieber.
Oh, no. Okay, you know the Hanson brothers had that song "Mbop." Remember that song "Mbop"?
I hate to admit this, but I've interviewed the Hanson brothers.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. Many times in the very studio where you're sitting in our showcase studio.
And they're very nice.
Very likable.
Very nice. Yeah.
Very, very, very nice. But not when it comes to Justin Bieber. They were on an Australian radio show the other day where, you know, they were chatting about today's music. It said the host apparently asked if they liked Justin Bieber, and apparently not so much, because they compared Justin Bieber's music to venereal disease.
Oh no!
Zach
venereal
Hanson.
Disease.
Do you remember which one was Zach?
I don't know.
Zach was the little one, the drummer.
Was he small, medium, or large?
There was Isaac, Taylor, and Zach.
Oh, look at you with the names.
Well,
give me another hint besides Mbop.
That's the only one that I know.
Mbop.
They're a one-hit wonder.
Mbop.
Dean,
I think they did have other hits, but
Vandeveld,
I'm not sure.
Anything come to mind?
No, they had other ones. They're actually pretty good musicians.
Did you guys know they have, what is it, Dean, 12 or 13 kids between the three of them?
What?
Like one has four, the other has four or five, and then the other has two. They have...
And they started young, too.
They put their kids in their latest video. Don't ask me why I know this.
Are you a fan?
Sorry, Dean.
Were you a fan?
I feel like I should apologize to the premier entertainment reporter.
Casey Kasem. Yeah. Yep. They had 12 kids. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah.
The fact that you know that is scary.
I know.
Some of their other songs, I Will Come to You. I have no idea what that is.
Uh-uh. I Will Come to You.
Where's the Love?
No. Where is the love?
No, my daughter actually
That's Roberta Flack.
My daughter went to see him. Wrong legend.
Your daughter went to see him?
Yeah. I forgot where they were performing, but she saw him, I think it was like last summer. And my son-in-law is a guitarist, and he's a very good musician. But anyway, he had a big conversation with the older one, Isaac. He was having a big conversation with him. Yeah, cool.
Hanson.
Yeah.
All right.
Who knew?
Yeah, so anyway, they compared Justin Bieber's music to Social Disease.
VD. Got it.
Yeah, bring it, baby. Now I'm into it. I like it.
Dean Richards, WGN. Dean, always a pleasure.
Don't interrupt the music. I'm singing.
Thank you, brother.
See you, bud.
It's 831, 720, WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:41, good morning. Beautiful sunny day, not too hot. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back tomorrow. Turner Classic Movies, their June spotlight is on Gay Hollywood, coinciding with Pride Month. And remember, we have the parade happening here on Sunday.
That's right. We have a float, and we'll be with WGN-TV as well.
And it's hosted by our next guest. Say hello to Dave Karger. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you doing?
Hey, were you a movie nut growing up?
I definitely was. I was a movie nut, but also a music nut. I mean, I would park my butt in front of MTV and just sit and watch it for hours. I was 11 years old watching the Oscars every night. I mean, every year, my family thought I was crazy. And then I became a film critic at my college newspaper at Duke University when I was a lot younger, and then worked for Entertainment Weekly magazine for 17 years before moving over to the broadcasting side a few years ago.
I always love talking to movie guys, asking them their favorite movie of all time. What's your favorite?
Well, for me, it's Lost in Translation.
Really?
Bill Murray film.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson. And why?
Yes.
Why is that?
I love that movie so much.
Okay.
I just think it's so unique. I think I love the droll humor. I love the whole kind of travel postcard element because it all takes place in Tokyo. But for me, it's all about that Bill Murray performance. It's just so sly, and it just puts me in a great mood.
Darlis, what's yours?
Favorite movie of all time?
All time.
I would have to say Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
I just think it was, I mean, I could pick like When Harry Met Sally or one of those, but I just think that movie was the last, right, Dave, to win all five Academy Awards. Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress.
Very good.
And
good for you.
Screenwriter, yeah. But I just thought it was so smart. Screenplay, yeah, yeah. I thought it was just so smart and so brilliant at the time.
Guys, The Godfather.
Oh.
It's all about family. It's all about loyalty.
Yeah.
The greatest picture of all time. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about right there.
Yeah.
Brando, Pacino.
That's it.
Sonny Corleone. Dave, tell us about the series, Gay Hollywood, on Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah, so every Thursday night in the month of June, we've been spotlighting gay men and lesbians who have been working in the movie industry as far back as the 1930s, all the way through the 80s. So we're halfway through the series now. This Thursday, we've got a great night of three movies from the 1960s that feature gay men who either wrote the movie, directed it, or starred in it. Most notably, Suddenly Last Summer, which co-stars Montgomery Clift, as well as Elizabeth Taylor and Katharine Hepburn. But it's been really fascinating for me to learn about and talk about all of these people from Rock Hudson to Farley Granger to Cole Porter, who were gay and, you know, it was kind of known they were gay in the industry, but of course the public didn't really know. And then we end the series next Thursday with The Year of Living Dangerously, which is the movie that Linda Hunt, who's an out lesbian actress, won her Oscar for, and she very famously played a man in the movie, and it really made her career. Now she's on TV every week on NCIS LA.
You know what? It was so hard in the 60s. You couldn't come out because, of course, the studios were worried about, well, if this is a gay man in Hollywood, how can he be a leading man? But Rock Hudson, he hit it for so many years, but everyone, like you said, in the industry knew. Who are some others that we didn't know about?
Well, Montgomery Clift, as I mentioned.
Okay.
John Gielgud, who, of course, won the Oscar for Arthur. He's someone that we spotlight next week as well. And, you know, he was actually arrested in a public restroom in England in the 1950s, and he was concerned it was going to ruin his career. Well, thank God it didn't, because he's such a great actor. We talked about Farley Granger in this series, you know, who's so great in the Hitchcock movie Strangers on a Train and Rope. As I mentioned, Cole Porter, the songwriter, Lorenz Hart, a lot of really interesting people who, you know, the public, that we just didn't know that they were gay.
Dave, did you find, too, again, it's kind of in your research and you know, doing the series, that the, I guess the studio executives tried to protect them as well, but not in a bad way, not in a, hey, you know, don't, we're not going to let anybody know, otherwise your career is over. But hey, you know, you just the opposite. You have this great career. We're going to protect you for your own good.
Oh, sure. I mean, in many cases, particularly Rock Hudson, the studio was complicit in hiding the homosexuality, even setting up sham marriages with, you know, secretaries at the company. I mean, that these were well-known things to have happened. And, you know, you look back in 2017 and think how crazy that, you know, someone had to do a fake marriage. But you're right. I think there was this fear that they would lose their fan base. But it is nice that we can now talk about it and spotlight them and show all of the great stuff that they did achieve in the movie industry.
Dave Karger on the phone with us. Turner Classic Movies. June Spotlight is on Gay Hollywood. No, you brought that up, the fake marriages. Didn't Judy Garland marry a gay man and then Liza did originally?
Yeah, I know. Yes. Yeah, so
I don't know why I remember that, but I just thought it was odd that like daughter like mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a little crazy.
History repeats, and one of the many reasons why Judy and Liza are such great gay icons.
You know, and you look at Hollywood now. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres, who is gay, is one of the most. She's one of the richest people in Hollywood.
Oh, iconic too. Everyone loves
Neil
her.
Patrick Harris.
Yep.
I don't think people care to this. I hope they don't care to this day. But back in the '60s, man, it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dave, thank you for joining us, man. Turner Classic Movies again. What are you going to show Thursday night?
So this Thursday we've got Gypsy and Billy Liar. And Suddenly Last Summer, and the next Thursday is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? A crazy movie from the 60s, a British movie called The Loved One, which is feel good. And then we end with The Year of Living Dangerously with Mel Gibson and Linda Hunt.
Got it. Dave Karger. Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks to Dave Karger. Turner Classic Movies. When we were growing up, I come from a very large family. My mother made us watch old black and white movies all the time.
Oh, my mom did too.
And of course, I hated it at the time, but now I'm glad she made us do that. We used to sit around on Sunday afternoons, mm-hmm. and we'd have to watch Errol Flynn on, what was it, Family Classics with Frasier Thomas on GN on Sundays?
We used to watch.
Isn't that right? Family Classics?
Oh, yeah. Had to watch
my mom
that.
Loved John Wayne, so we watched, like, The Quiet Man.
My mother loved John Wayne.
I know, my mom, too.
He was bald.
And he walked, he had kind of that weird gait like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Love John Wayne.
Yeah, but we watched all those old movies, too. She still has all the VHS tapes of those. Ben-Hur and...
Greeks don't throw anything away.
Oh, no, I know.
Same with Lebanese women. My mother probably has those, too. How about Abbott and Costello, those old movies?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. I feel like the comedies came on GN on Saturdays, and the Family Classics were Sunday.
Right. Remember, Family Classics, that was... Was it not Frasier Thomas?
Yeah, it was Frasier Thomas. And later Roy Leonard.
Yes, did the Family Classics.
Did he start out on Bozo and then Mr. Ned took over? Wasn't it Frasier Thomas first and then Mr. Ned?
Frasier Thomas.
I don't know why I keep looking at Ennett.
They kind of look alike.
Ringmaster.
We should have asked
Ringmaster.
Dean.
Oh, Dean would know.
Yeah, Dean knows all that, like, back of his hand.
But Turner Classics is great. My mom has to watch it every night.
That's all my mother has on her TV.
She watches all the time. It's like, I got to get home now. I have to watch Turner Classics. I'm like, okay.
Always something. Mom, you've seen this movie 150 times. I know, but I love this part.
They love them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And watching them over and over and over again.
Well, think about it. I mean, it's the same thing with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your favorite movies? We talked about The Godfather. I can watch that over and over. Animal House came on, I want to say, Showtime the other night. I watched it.
When Harry Met Sally is another one like that. That's on all the time. Or Shawshank Redemption is on all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's the term. I got Shawshanked.
What do you call
when you get sucked into a movie?
That's it. That's
I got Shawshanked.
The other night, Beaches
was
on.
Dropper.
Beaches.
And I sat and watched it. I just bawled and bawled and bawled.
I'm like that with Terms of Endearment, too.
I've never, ever seen any of those movies.
You've
I know
never
the
seen
song.
Beaches?
I've never seen Beaches.
Well, you should see Terms of Endearment.
I don't need to see it.
That was a great.
I don't need to see the whole. What is it? Cancer and death and the whole deal?
Yeah, pretty much. I watch Step Brothers and Old School every time those are on.
Oh, Old School's another good one.
Old School's a great movie.
That's a remote dropper.
Frank the Tank. We're going streaking. Yeah, definitely.
Step Brothers is better.
But I was trying to think, you know, what do I pass on to my kid? We watch Rudy about a month
God,
ago.
I hate that movie.
I do too. That's so
what?
Cheesy.
Stop
a 40-year-old guy playing college kid.
I agree.
When Father Tom gets here, make sure he says confession to you too, because
like
Rudy is a great movie. When he gets accepted to Notre Dame and he's sitting on the park bench.
He's like 40.
It doesn't matter if he's 40. He's sitting on the park bench and he gets accepted the very last time by the lake.
Yawn.
How do you not cry during that scene?
It's so manufactured.
Do you want to see McMurray and Ennett's head explode? A movie that, and probably Mike Jacobson too, a movie I can't stand, which you guys, I know you're looking at me weird. Field of Dreams.
What?
Oh.
What?
Oh, I can't stand
that
it.
That movie
Darless.
Is so
listen,
slow. I know. I just want to say,
if
though.
If you build it, they will come.
They're not coming. Sometimes
they are.
If you build it, they're ghosts. If you build it, they don't always come.
He's so cute in that movie, though.
He is cute. Amy, what's
Shoeless
her name?
Shoeless Joe is so cute
great.
In that movie.
Ray Liotta plays Gray,
yeah, he's
whatever.
So cute.
Let's
in
go.
That movie.
Let's go and do a show there in Iowa. It's open field
just,
of dreams.
No,
it's
I'm not going
believable.
There.
I don't get it. Women, I don't think get it. It's a
I
guy
don't
movie.
Like
it's
it,
a couple from Chicago that owns it now. You should go there and then
I've
you'll appreciate
there.
The movie.
I've been there. It's good. It's a
great movie.
Empty baseball field.
And the little girl starts choking, and then Who saved it?
Oh, Bert.
Who saved it? Yeah.
I don't remember.
Bert Lancaster.
Not Bert Lancaster.
It was.
Was it?
Yes, it was Bert Lancaster in that
you,
movie.
It was one of his last movies. Yeah, he stepped over the
line.
He became a doctor, saved her. Blah, blah, blah.
The next movie I watched with Charlie, I think, is Rocky.
Oh, now that's
you gotta watch
Rocky. I just watched that a couple of
Rocky
weeks.
Three.
Last week. It was
right. Rocky 3 is the one you can't put down.
We've already watched Rocky 3. We got to watch Rocky 1.
With Mr. T.
You watched 3? You watched it out of order?
It came on.
Well, I mean, you can pick up the plot. I mean, you can kind
of
figure out what's happening.
There's a boxer that's trying to defend the championship, and then the trainer dies,
but
and
he loses
back.
First before he wins. Like, it's not the right
It teaches
arc.
You perseverance. Yeah. There it is. Boy, you put on that music. I'm ready to go. I'm going to run around Tribune Tower right now as we go into a commercial. Everybody down. Let's do some planks, people. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined live from CLTV, and we're going to talk about the world's largest block party right here in Chicago at 720 WGN. Come on, let's do some weights. Run it around. Let's go. It's Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It is 9:09 at 720 WGN. In studio with us, the world's largest block party is happening this weekend. 33 years. I mean, that's amazing. They're coming back to the block at Old St. Pat's campus. Joining us from Old St. Pat's, Father Tom Hurley. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Pete.
I feel like this counts as Mass for Sunday and confession.
Good.
Is that 12 years at Catholic school here? So I get it.
Well, that's fine. I'll pass the basket, though, here in the studio, if that's okay.
I moved to Chicago from Rockford, from Peoria to Rockford to Chicago in 1998. In one of my very first block parties, I did a live radio show from Old St. Pat's block party.
Wow.
So I have fond memories. But my question to you is, 33 years, how many people have met and got married from this block party? Because every year you hear about a couple that got together or they got engaged or they got married.
It's amazing. I don't think we have an accurate count. How could we, you know? But I think what we know is about 100, at least 100
right.
couples, if not more, met there and then eventually got married.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I ran into somebody a couple weeks ago who they told me that's where they met and they were married. I was like, I had no idea.
I mean, 33 years. It's a Chicago tradition.
It's a great party. Absolutely.
And this year you're bringing it back to the Old St. Pat's campus, the block right there.
We are. For a couple years, the past 2 years, we actually moved it over to the UIC festival lot right off of Taylor Street. And the feedback we were getting was... You know, and we were all kind of feeling it like, gee, it's better to be in kind of the shadows of the church.
Well, of
the
course,
church,
you got to have the church in the background.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a block party, then put it on the block. So that's what we said. Let's move it back there.
So tell people about it if they've never been to one of these.
Yeah, it's a great party, as you said. Been around for 33 years, and it's just a great place to meet some folks and enjoy a summer evening. So it's going to be this Friday and Saturday, and a lot of local talent will be there. We're going to be starting at 5 o'clock on Friday, go till 10:30, and then... On Saturday, we're going to do something a little bit more unique, and we're going to be there from 2 until 10:30. But from 2 to 6, it's going to be a kids zone, which we've never had before. But we're just mindful of the fact that we're in the West Loop. That's one of the hottest areas, and there's so many families that live around us that we just wanted to reach out to the families in the area and, you know, do something during the afternoon.
How many people? I know you had a kind of a rough number last year. Like there's hundreds of people who have met and started dating, and mm-hmm. you know it's that kind of event too where you can meet people. But didn't you have? It's in double digits now. How many people have gotten married and have been married for a long time now because of meeting?
Oh yeah, it's definitely over 100.
Yeah,
over
100.
Oh, it's over 100.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over 100 people.
That's great.
Yeah.
The block party, people come back to Old St. Pat's. Like I said, you know, I lived at Clark and Maple when I first moved to Chicago, went to Old St. Pat's. But now we're all grown up and we have kids and we want to come back and people have moved to the suburbs. I still live in the city, but they come back and I'm glad you have the kids zone because we can go out, we can have some beers and enjoy the street food and the kids can have fun too.
Yeah. When you think about back in the 80s and the 90s when St. Pat's was very intentional about reaching out to young adults, and we still are. But the reality is, you know, we're a multi-generational place, and now there's families and there's, you know, you look around downtown. I mean, a lot of our parents, you know, who have retired and bought places down here. And so we're a multi-generational place, and we just want to continue to reach out to the next generation, which is so important for our future as well.
I think Old St. Pat's is very special. I'll never forget the first time I went to church there when I moved to town.
you gave away Cub tickets before Mass for the people that got there early.
Yeah. I think that was probably Father Cusick. He's a big Cubs fan.
I'm like, this is my parish. I love it. But even though I live north now, we still try to come back once or twice a year. We were at Christmas Mass, and oh, my God. Wow. How many Masses did you have going on? You had one in the church. We were in the gymnasium.
Yeah. We had four Masses going on at one time, you know, at 3 o'clock, and then we had another four Masses going on at 5 o'clock.
It's crazy. We went to the 3 o'clock one. Now, I thought the rule was after 4, count for the next day.
Wow, you're throwing me under the bus on the radio here.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Actually, you could ask for
Vandeville,
permission.
Jump in anytime. You're Catholic. There's she gets a, it. You come from a large family.
Well, there is that country western song, It's 5 o'clock somewhere, you know? So, no, I mean, you know, in some ways we had to, and you could ask for permission to do that. Yeah, generally 4 o'clock because we always, obviously the day starts at sundown, so that's why the church says 4 o'clock. But anyhow, sometimes places have to do it a little bit early just for pastoral reasons because of obviously the crowds. I mean, we're packed, you know?
Right.
So,
you were
jam-packed. we had to turn around for 5 o'clock. And,
yeah, you had to get people out. And they made that, whoever the priest was with, that was doing it in the gym, he's like, okay, I know you want to say hello, but you got to get out because we got another we got another showing.
Another crew.
We got to get going on this. Father Tom Hurley in studio with us. World's Largest Block Party happening this Friday and Saturday. You can go to worldslargestblockparty.com. How long have you been a priest?
24 years.
24 years.
Yep.
People do people ask you, when did you know?
All the time.
When did
all
you
the
know?
Time. I think I was pretty young. I was pretty young, probably in grammar school.
Okay.
Seventh, eighth
really?
Grade. Yeah, seventh, eighth grade. I was pretty much leaning in this direction.
You knew
yes.
this was a calling.
I did. I did.
Did you come from a religious family?
Pretty much, yeah. Southside family, big family.
Okay.
Up across the street from the church. And
how many kids?
There were 9 of us.
9. Where do you fit in?
I was number 8 of 9.
Oh,
I was the youngest boy.
Oh, your mother was so happy. Your grandmother was so happy. Finally, finally a priest in the family.
Yeah.
That is so nice. When you went on road trips, we used to take 2 cars and my mother would make us say the rosary. So if you were in the other car with the older siblings, you know, they'd kind of skip it.
Really?
Yeah. Because the parents weren't in the car. Did you have to say the rosary?
Oh, so you had your older siblings were driving.
Yes. One car and my parents were in the station wagon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So who got, that's great, who got to be in the kids' car? Did you fight over that?
We used to fight over it.
How many did you have, Pete?
12 kids.
12 kids?
Yeah. Well, look at you, you have 9.
I know, but you beat us by 3.
So you had 7 in each car, including mom and dad?
Well, the station wagon could hold more. Remember, no seatbelts back then.
Oh,
so you could just pile in the kids.
You could fit 4 in that back seat, you know.
Oh, yeah, the back area.
Did you have a station wagon?
Yeah, I had a station wagon and a...
So do we.
What was our second car?
Minivan, probably?
No, there was no minivans back in the 70s and early 80s.
She's too young.
But how about the seat? No, I remember the station wagon where the seat faced backwards.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
What we're talking about.
We had the Ford LTD Country Squire station wagon.
So did we.
The wood paneling.
And it had the wood paneling.
Yeah, wood paneling on the side.
Definitely. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah.
But you became a priest, and here you are.
I am. Hosting a party.
Explain to people Old St. Pat's, because it is really a special church.
I think it is, and it's really a neat place. You know, we're a place that, I don't know, folks come in from about 200 zip codes around Chicago and Northwest Indiana, and I just think it comes down to the energy, and I think it comes down to music and preaching and hospitality and making people feel welcome. You know, that's what we try to keep building on each and every Sunday.
Bob Clifford, high-powered attorney, in the front row at Christmas Mass. Yeah.
Graduate of Marist, too. Alma mater.
Oh. Was he really?
Exactly. Bob Clifford. Exactly.
So, the world's largest block party. Friday, you have Mike and Joe playing and Wedding Band, which is a great band.
They're great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we went with all local great talent this year.
Seventh Heaven on Saturday, which is also great. And Elevation, the U2 cover band. I've seen all 4 of these bands, by the way.
Yeah. Maggie Speaks, too.
I have not seen Maggie Speaks.
Maggie Speaks is a great
They're
great
awesome.
Show.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, you got to see them, Pete.
So we got a real good lineup.
Good for you. I'm glad you're bringing it back to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I'll be in Peoria this weekend. I have to go to Peoria to see my mother in a graduation party, so I'm going to miss it. But I'll be there.
Do the rosary on your trip
there. You go, right.
I will call you. We'll say the rosary together. It's nice.
You got a deal.
Father Tom Hurley, go to worldslargestblockparty.com, Old St. Pat's Block Party this weekend. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
How and when to retire. It meant one thing for your parents, means something to you, and it could be a lot different for your kids. Valuing your own labor and when to hang it up. That's tonight on The Download, after 8 o'clock on 720 WGN.
The 4th of July is coming up. Everybody's excited to have friends and family over. Fire up the grill and buy lots of soft drinks, too. But I just learned Cook County passed a new beverage tax starting July 1. It's already so expensive, with the highest sales taxes in the country. Now our grocery bills would go up, too.
That's right. Cook County's new beverage tax will increase the cost of teas, lemonade, and juice drinks, too. Even some beverages that have no calories and no sugar. When they tack on all the taxes onto a 99-cent 2-liter of pop, the cost nearly doubles to $1.81, an 82% tax rate.
That's outrageous. We just can't afford a new beverage tax.
Stop the beverage tax before it starts. Visit StopTheCookCountyTax.com. That's StopTheCookCountyTax.com. Paid for by the Can the Tax Coalition, supported by the American Beverage Association.
Did you know in Jewish tradition, a fetus is not considered viable till after it graduates from medical school? Hi, I'm Brad Zimmerman. Come see my new comedy, My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy.
The New York Times calls it great comedy, and the Huffington Post raves, you'll laugh your tuckers off.
Joan Rivers once said, I've had three great opening acts, Billy Crystal, Gary Shandling, and Brad Zimmerman. Catch My Son the Waiter for tickets, visit mysonthewaiter.com. Now playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Dave, do you have one?
Yes, I do. The biggest pool and patio sale is going on now at American Sail. Right now, save up to 50% on pools, patio sets, and more. And pay no interest for 5 years. Pool packages starting as low as $47 a month. Patio sets as low as $5.99. Choose from hundreds of sets on display and in stock. See store for details. But hurry, the summer celebration sale ends June 25th. 9 Chicagoland locations, or visit americansale.com. American Sale. Bring the fun home.
And the Pods are headed out of Dodge, but not before one last meet and greet with a few fastballs at the friendly confines. Cubs, Padres, Wednesday at 1, WGN-TV Sports.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Thanks again to Father Tom from Old St. Pat's, world's largest block party.com. I love the street fairs during the summertime in Chicago.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah,
there's such great festivals.
Yeah, there's
going
some great ones, Pete.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get together to one sometime.
Guys.
What? Is there some kind of underlying thing?
I was supposed to meet, last time I was in Ribfest, I was going to Ribfest to meet Dave Innitt.
Uh huh.
It was on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the date. It was 2 weeks ago, right?
It was two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was the 10th.
I was going Saturday the 10th. I was going to the Cub game with nine other McMurrays. So I'm like, Dave, I'm going to try to break away from my family and come and meet you at Ribfest, which is at Lincoln and Irving.
Okay.
All right. So my family decides to come over to my house after the game.
Okay.
And I come from a long line of Millers where the people just mill around and they don't leave. My family stayed at my house until 8:30 at night.
I believe it, yeah.
Four and a half hours. I'm like, I'm taking pictures of my family, sending them to Innitt. I can't meet you, man. I'm trying. I can't kick out my mother.
That's okay. When you get the family over, you can't, you know, kick
them
out.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's fine. I'm over it.
I think, don't.
June 10th, by the way, was the date.
Shoot.
He's never going to let you live.
Never.
It. Dave does not hold a grudge.
He was in my neighborhood, too.
Like, he won't bring that up ever again.
He's brought it up three times this morning.
I just got the reference because we were talking about a rooftop patio here, and Dave said, oh, let's go meet for a beer. And I thought, oh, that sounds like a nice idea. We can all go meet for a beer. But there was an underlying tone of sarcasm to that.
No, it's just one of those that you know it's never really going to happen.
Wow.
It will.
Everyone's busy.
Let's go at 10. Let's go have a beer at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah. not sure I'm okay. really ready for that.
Besides, where else can you get a butterfly pork chop sandwich during the summertime besides a street fair? Where do you go?
There's a place called Pork Chop, but they're at the Taste this year. They make a really mean pork chop, obviously.
I love going to street fairs, grabbing a beer, and getting a butterfly pork chop sandwich. There's nothing better.
You like corn dogs?
I am not a corn dog guy.
It's more of a state fair thing, but I like corn dogs.
No one's into butterfly pork chop sandwiches?
They're good.
No, they're good. Yeah. They're good. I'm not sure where you would go to get one.
Besides a street fair. What about pork tenderloins?
Ooh, like those too.
Deep fried with the breading on it? You know what I'm talking about?
Those are tasty, yeah.
Lots of mustard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Chicago has the best street fairs, I think, in the world. I really do. I mean, we've all been traveling. We have just the greatest events right here in our own city.
That's the one thing that the mayor, well, not the one thing. I mean, he does a lot of things, right? But it's one of my favorites. Street fairs every single weekend.
I know.
And there's a website. I'm sure you can just Google Street Fair Chicago. It comes up and it tells you there's multiple.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
This time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. World's largest block party. I lived at Clark and Maple or Clark and Elm, and I used to go there year after year. Before I was married.
It's so much fun.
It's great. 100-some-odd couples met and got married.
And I didn't know if it was over 100, because I remember the last time, maybe it was a couple years ago, where he said, thought it was well over 50, but now it's well over 100.
Now, since Father Tom came in, that counts as Sunday Mass, right?
Yes.
Are we good?
I think so.
We're good to go?
That'll be okay for me.
I don't know if he appreciated that joke.
I'm not Catholic, but... It'll work for me. My mom will text, go to church on
Greek
Sunday.
Greek Orthodox, Catholic.
Yeah.
They're very similar.
Yeah,
there's just more singing, and you have a longer Mass.
We were the same until 1054 and the Great Schism, but you know what? They're trying to get the churches back together.
One more thing. If you remember the last time I was on, we talked about the bar mitzvah. I was going to my very first bar mitzvah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, and how much you were
going to
give
How much
him.
I was going
yeah.
to give.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to do...
I thought what you guys said to
the
give
the number
insane.
18.
Insane.
Mm-hmm. He had to do in the number 18. So Wendy, who was there with Jimmy Mack, I asked her. I thought she was going to give 118. This is a 13-year-old kid.
Why? What? Why 18?
Because 18 is something special in the Jewish faith. I don't know what it was. Hochberger explained it to me.
What does that mean, right. Dave?
No, I think David Hochberger explained it. It was like
it's got to be multiples of 18. So anything with 18. So
okay, but why? Why 18?
Because it has something to do with the Jewish faith. I have no idea what it is.
All right.
But you can ask Cockburg.
All right, I'll ask him. He knows the stuff. I mean, is like 18, you're like 18,000 years or something?
I have no idea. I'm sure
freed?
If you Google it, you'll be able to find it.
All right.
So you didn't just give $18, did you?
No. But Wendy said she was going to give 118, and I said I was going to give 180. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 18 stands for life.
Yeah.
You give multiples of 18 for a gift.
There it is.
So it's life. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So either 118 or 180, since I figured I should give a little bit more, I gave $180 to a 13-year-old.
I was going to say, okay, my cousin just graduated from college, and they're not doing a party, but I still want to give her a gift. So we were talking about this on Sunday. What do you give a college graduate? They're not having a party.
$100.
That's what I thought too.
Depends on
and we're very close. So $100 I thought was good, but this is a 13-year-old. You're giving $180 to?
Yeah. Then what do you give them for their graduation?
It's different.
You have to go a lot higher.
It's different for a bar mitzvah.
So that's more important.
And I was saying bar mitzvah. It sounded very white. Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah is the boy, and
yes,
bat is for
a girl.
Okay.
Yes. So 180 guys. 180.
That's crazy.
180.
I still think that's nuts.
It's very generous of you.
Yeah. And if
that's nice of you.
And
that's good. It was a friend, kid, right? So.
Friend's kid, sort of.
It was a friend's kid.
You got to be nice to that friend.
It was. I'm so broke. I have one more graduation. So let's see. Three graduations.
Okay.
First communion, bar mitzvah. And my last graduation is this weekend.
Okay.
No weddings?
You know who I feel most...
In 5 weeks.
Here's who I feel most sorry for, though, on this show. Mike Jacobson has 10
weddings.
Even if they give, you know, $100 total, which I know they're super generous and they're giving more than that, that's $1,000 that you're giving in gifts for one summer. I feel.
What about me?
You have money. He's young.
I'm broke.
You have tons of money.
High school, college graduations, do we give 100? Mike, what are you giving, $100?
It depends on the couple and how close you are. Because certain ones I'm giving one, but here's what we're doing. This is the smart thing, because we're giving them all Let Us Entertain You cards, and we're building points, so eventually we'll get a meal out of it.
There you go. What see?
One That's meal? How you got to do it.
There you go.
It'll be one meal, but it'll be a nice meal.
Hey, it's worth it, though. If you buy $100 worth of gift cards, you get 25, right?
Exactly. And then you build I think up. It's double points, too, for this see? Summer or something.
God, is that smart.
That's a great idea.
Shoot.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
I came up with it all on my own. That's Ooh. Not true. But I followed along
still,
with it.
Still, that's a lot of money that you're forking over
it
for
is.
Weddings this
it
summer.
And if you're in the wedding, then it's, oh boy.
Fortunately, Audrey's only in one wedding. I'm not in any of them because nobody likes me as much.
You
so
know what?
That
should,
helps.
That should be your gift. The fact that Audrey's in the wedding, that should be the gift.
No.
Why?
You can't
You're
do
in the
that.
Wedding. You're buying no. your dress. You're buying your earrings. You're taking your
bachelorette
time.
Bachelorette party.
No.
Bachelorette party. Shower. And women have all these ridiculous
are,
things.
They're always destination now. Oh, boy.
Even so. It's shower. Expensive. Bachelorette party. You
My
buy
daughter
the dress.
Is like broke.
You definitely should not have to give a gift if you are wearing the clothes.
I completely
and being
disagree.
In the wedding.
My daughter's been in eight weddings.
Completely
eight
disagree.
Or nine.
Why do you disagree?
She does. She
if you're in
gift.
The wedding, you have to give something.
You do.
Of course you do.
But you're giving your time.
I know,
Still
but you have to.
Have to
you don't want to look like a cheapskate.
But shouldn't the yes. But the bride should give you a gift? Like, doesn't the
they
bride
a small one?
They do. The bride gives
yeah.
gifts.
Yeah, yeah, but you should get like your earrings or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They
right.
give, my daughter gave her bridal party night really nice gift.
See,
I got a money clip. I'm using it right now.
I got fake earrings.
They're always bad gifts.
Yeah.
If you'd okay. been to my daughter's bridal party, well, you would have gotten something better.
My point is, I have one more graduation for my niece, Chana, my brother Jamie's daughter. So if everybody could throw in $10, we'll be good for Saturday. Appreciate it.
Wait, we're all supposed to throw in $10?
That would be nice.
Okay, yeah.
I appreciate it.
We didn't get
Thank
invited?
No. All right. We're live on CLTV at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
It's 9:41. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We got the big O here. Orion, I'm driving to Peoria to see my
yes.
family this weekend, my niece's graduation, Jana.
Should be a good trip.
The old saying in the corn world was knee-high by the 4th of July, and I always thought to myself, if it's knee-high, it's not a good crop. Where did that come from?
Well, no, knee-high by the 4th of July 30, 40 years ago was a good standard to set growth. But now, with the technology and all of the traits that we put into our corn seeds, it's outdated completely. Because I would say downstate we'll see corn waist high, maybe even head high by the 4th of July. And of course, the July is the critical month for the corn crop because pollination season starts. And maybe before July ends, I'll go through my corn porn again and explain how a corn plant.
Yeah. Now you got my attention. Why? Explain what that is.
Well, corn plant is an unusual plant because as it grows, it shoots out about halfway up the stalk, the beginning of an ear, and it has silk on it, a lot of silk. And then you go up to the top of the plant, and it shoots out a tassel. That has the pollen in it that then is blown off by the wind, drops down, and each what do I call it, hair, catches a pollen, and it begins to form the corn kernels. And so it's both sexes, it's male and female as a plant, and at the end of the growing season, a couple of interesting things. First of all, the cobs fill out completely.
Okay.
And nearly 90% of the time, there is an even number of rows on that cob of corn. It's a fantastic plant. It really is. And so that's
Who
my
knew?
Corn porn.
That's your corn porn right there.
Yep,
there's
right.
sweet corn. There's the corn that they use to feed the cattle, right?
Yes. And
where does popcorn come from?
Popcorn comes from a lot of fields in Indiana that produce popcorn, and it's okay. a special variety for popping. And the sweet corn, although on the farm when I was a kid, we'd go out and eat field corn because not much difference. But now we have sweet corn, and I forget the latest number. I think something like 12,000 acres are devoted to sweet corn in the country out of 90 million acres. So we don't grow that much sweet corn, but we. And the interesting thing about producing sweet corn at our nurseries and sweet corn farms here in Chicago, you have to plant as early as you can, and then you have to plant every 10 days or 2 weeks through the month of June so that you'll have fresh sweet corn that'll be coming to harvest in mid-July. That's when we'll see the first sweet corn. And then by late August, you still want to have sweet corn at the farmer's market, so then you take the later planted crops, which mature in time for the end of the farmer's market season. So,
what about the farm stands that you see on your way to Wisconsin or on your way to Peoria? Are those good to buy from?
Absolutely, because they have picked their produce that morning. Okay. And it's about as fresh as it's ever going to be. You know, farmers markets, they have to pick very early in the morning in order to get to Park Ridge or Huntley or wherever else, the weekly farmers markets. But the daily farmers markets that are operated by farm families, good place to buy. And it's interesting because they don't always have the manpower to have people at the farm stand, and so they kind of do it on an honor system. This is what sweet corn costs. Leave it in the little can there, and that's how it works.
So okay. All the farmers markets, you know, the one or in the folks in the South Loop know you as well, and the one, the Green City Market here in Lincoln Park, those are all locally, that's local farmers.
Local farmers, not at the beginning of the season when we're doing tomatoes and we're doing melons and that type of thing. That comes in from the South.
Okay.
Because they're ahead of us in the growing season. So, but the minute we get products that are ripe on time here, yeah, it all comes
Boom.
From farmers
Got
markets.
It.
That's why you go to the farmers market
right
there. And,
yep.
Orion, don't answer this. Let me ask Dave and Andrea, what's the biggest export from Illinois farms? What do you think it is?
Export. Okay, what do you think?
Dave?
Pumpkins.
Pumpkins?
I'm
going to
say soybeans.
Soybeans is correct, right,
is
Orion?
Absolutely, soybeans is. But Dave isn't far off because Illinois is the number one pumpkin producing state in the country.
There you go.
Who knew?
Cool.
Yeah,
I did.
So. goes soybeans and corn, right? One and two?
Yeah, soybeans and corn, and Iowa and Illinois go back and forth every year on who's going to produce the greatest amount of corn and the greatest amount of soybeans. Generally, Iowa is number one in corn, and Illinois is number one in soybeans. But we're talk about change. 40 years ago, we wouldn't be growing soybeans probably north of Madison, Wisconsin. Today we're growing soybeans in Canada because, again, they have just managed to improve the seed and the genetics. And I'm amazed every day at the technology that we see in agriculture.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
Illinois also produces buckwheat, horseradish, ostriches, fish, and Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas horseradish. I forget the name of the town, but there's a town in southern Illinois that has an annual horseradish festival. And they have a contest.
My wife would love that.
And they have a contest for people who can bring the hottest horseradish.
Collinsville, Orion.
What?
Collinsville.
Collinsville,
okay.
Illinois. Yeah, I just searched for it. The International Horseradish Festival.
Yes. Yeah, international. Make note of that. We're a global agriculture.
I married a Wisconsin girl. She loves horseradish, man. Wow. It's an acquired taste. It took me a few years to get used to it, but I like it in small doses.
I think with prime rib, it's great.
And, Orion, we were talking about street fairs. You know, it's that time of year in Chicago. There's
right.
a street fair every single weekend. The butterfly pork chop, is there anything better?
No, not really. As a matter of fact, we've talked for decades about the sandwich fair, which happens the Wednesday after Labor Day at Sandwich, Illinois. And the butterfly pork chop, I think, has been perfected better by the Fay family than anybody else. They just do great. If you ever go to the sandwich fair, you got to have a pork chop barbecue.
Oh, now you're talking. Orion, yeah. Great to talk to you. I'll be in Peoria this weekend. I'll see the LaHoods. I'll tell them you said hello.
I'll do that if you would, please. I appreciate it, and have a safe trip.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Orion Samuelson. I love talking farming.
No kidding. And you know what? Everybody knows Orion. I ran into a friend from who's now married into a basically a Christmas tree farm out in Tuscola. So outside of Champaign, a little bit.
He was on in Peoria when I was growing up.
My mother.
Yes.
Orion Samuelson.
Absolutely.
Max Armstrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of those guys. Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN.